You know, I was reading a book the other day by John Eldridge, and it's titled Epic, The Story God is Telling. And I came across a passage this morning that I want to share with you that I think truly sums up my current experiences since March the 15th. This is what the book says. We find ourselves in the middle of a story that is sometimes wonderful, sometimes awful, often a confusing mixture of both, and we haven't a clue how to make sense of it all. You know, friends, I don't know how what your experience has been like since March the 15th when we suspended worship and since the onslaught of COVID-19 in our community, in our country. But I find myself having this experience way too often. And if I can just go ahead and continue to confess to you this morning, there's something else I've discovered about myself in this new world, and that is this. I have found myself uncharacteristically suffering from a kind of blah, if you will, that has birthed procrastination within me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm just like everybody else. I have moments of laziness or low energy, if you will. But procrastination is not a common response to life for Michael Bolin. I've spoken with some of my friends who have been blessed to transition from working at the office to working at home, and some of my other friends who've been on the front lines of COVID-19 since its beginning, and I've heard one resounding theme from both sets of individuals, and that is they're both suffering from some form of procrastination. Some of them are struggling with it because there is so much to do in their life. Some of us are struggling with it because we've got such a slow pace that we've adapted to, that we don't have a sense of urgency about moving forward. And when I reference these people, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about people who struggle with being self-starters, people who are lazy, or people who do not know how to manage their time. And so because of that, I felt led to study about this topic. And within my studies, I have discovered that negative emotions are causality of procrastination. Regardless of where we are, or where we live, who we are, or where we live, all of us are being bombarded daily with negativity that is associated with all the issues happening throughout our community, our country, and the world. And it concerns me as a leader of the church, not just this church, but God's universal church, that we're about to experience a new pandemic within the United States church, one of procrastination. And let me tell you why I say this. Through my studies, I have learned that most folks who struggle with procrastination do so because of an unwillingness to deal with negative emotions such as anxiety, fear, or confusion they face when challenged to accomplish a task. And since the outbreak of the coronavirus, many people I encounter wrestle with the uncertainty of what to do to respond to the virus, as well as what information are we getting that's actually accurate that we need to follow so we can be safe, not only for ourselves, but for the safety of others. You see, the uncertainties associated with our new reality has created within us hesitations and reluctance about doing normal life events, about embracing ministry, and that's not all. It has justified an inward focus on self. And listen, friends, as Christians, we know this goes against the teachings of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that we throw safety to the high winds and forget about what we have to do to make sure that we're safe. But procrastination in any form goes against the teachings of Christ. And so let me tell you, friends, I'm talking to you out there today who may be a CEO. Those of you out there who may own your own company. Those of you out there who are contractors or hourly or salary employees. I'm even speaking to those in here today who are volunteers for this organization. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us very specifically that if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, everything we do should be done to honor and glorify God. Procrastination pushes against this teaching. You know what? I don't know how often you get a chance to just stroll through God's Word leisurely, but I had a chance to do that this week, and I was reminded as I did that Jesus taught about this topic in multiple teaching settings. Like in Matthew chapter 5, where he's talking about reconciliation with a brother that you have offended or have been offended by. You might remember those verses say, even if you're at the altar and you remember that indifference, that encounter, it says you are to get up and go and reconcile that relationship before you continue your business at the altar. Even in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus invites folks to follow him, and those individuals come to him and respond with excuses about why they cannot follow him. Luke chapter 9. And Jesus responds to their procrastination with some words that people have wrestled with teaching about the harshness they associate with Jesus' words. You might remember when he told one man, let the dead bury the dead. He told the other man, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back ain't fit for the kingdom of God. Well, I want you to know, friend, Jesus wasn't trying to be harsh. He was just simply trying to address the procrastination within those individuals' lives. So you see, to me, these biblical references highlight the travesties accompanied to procrastination, whether it is fueled by overbusyness, fear, or laziness. And listen, I want to drive this point home this morning by looking at one additional teaching about procrastination. It is recorded in Matthew chapter 25, and it is titled The Parable of the Talents. Now, most of you will remember this, how this story goes. A man was about to go on a journey. He called his servants in, and he shared with them his belongings. He gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 2 talents, and one servant 1 talent. And we know from the reading that the one he gave 5 talents, or valuable coins to, he was able to double that amount from his investments. Same with the man who received, or the servant who received, 2 talents. But the servant with 1 talent is where I want us to pick up our reading at this morning. So Dave, I'm going to ask you to please put the scriptures on the screen. And for those of you at home, I ask you to join along with me as we read these. For those of you who are present, you know we have no Bibles here. So I encourage you to bring your technology with you. And you can look at God's holy word on your iPhone, your Samsung, Android, or your iPad. Again, Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 30. And this is what the Word of God says. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering what you did where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, saying, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. Let me read that again, verse 29. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And we conclude this passage of Scripture saying, where the Master says, cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord God, we need to be, we need your Word to shake us in the very core of what of our Constitution to cause us to be mindful about where we may be practicing procrastination. We are intentional about not doing what we know we should do. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us this morning to examine our own hearts and to be intentional about moving forward from this season of life to the abundance of life that God, that Christ came to give each of us. I pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, Webster defines this word procrastination as follows. To put off intentionally and habitually, to put off intentionally and reprehensibly, this doing of something that should be done. In our parable, we see that the servant with one talent intentionally put off doing what he should have been doing. He openly admits that the reason of his procrastination is because of fear. And he even takes his excuse one step further by blaming his procrastination on his master when he says, "I knew you were a hard man and you harvest where you have not sown." But I hope you realize that the master would have no part of his excuse, because the master had given two other servants talents and they had doubled their talents. Now, as the reader, we see two differing views of the master. First, we see a man who is very generous, a man who is unselfish. And then we see a master who is condemning over the fearful inactivity of the servant with one talent. Now, friends, I don't think that this is something that we should just simply overlook and not pay close attention to. Because I believe that this passage of Scripture is at the very end, that we just read, is a warning to the body of Christ about the perils associated with procrastination. It reminds me of a story I once heard about a boy named Jack Hanley. He said each day he went to school, he was confronted by a bully who demanded his lunch money. And this happened day after day since Jack was littler than the bully. So he decided one day that he was going to solve this problem. He was going to go and take karate lessons. But the karate instructor told him that the lessons were $5 a lesson. And Jack thought, man, that's a whole lot of money. So he decided that it would be better just to pay the bully than to learn how to take and practice karate. Now, I share that story because procrastination is perilous in the fact that it robs us of that which can never be regained. It's a tool of the enemy that enables you and me to justify lack of action, that eventually brings about a compound effect upon our lives by working not only on one's psychological welfare, but also on one's spiritual welfare. And the outcomes due to this justification produces consequences that we just read are not pleasing to our master. In my preparation time for this sermon today, I revisited some psychological curriculum that I used to read in college. And what I found in there is that it says, periodic procrastination is something every human wrestles with. People delay things sometimes because the task is boring, difficult, seems large, or is disagreeable. But I want you to know that the procrastination I'm speaking about this morning is the kind that brings about negative consequences in our life. Not periodic procrastination, but one that continues to linger and motivate and move us in ways that are contrary to the will of God. If your and my procrastination is depleting us physically, emotionally, psychologically, and/or spiritually, then it's time for you and I to address this habit and resolve it. You know, I understand that we all suffer different kinds of consequences to our daily actions in life. But I need for us as the body of Christ to understand that our procrastination, causes God's creation to suffer consequences. I shared my sermon topic this past week with a buddy of mine who is a pastor in a different denomination in a different state. And he went on to say, well, Michael, you know, it could be argued that the reason our country's in the state it is today is because the church has procrastinated in living out the teachings of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it kind of hit me between the eyes. Something to ponder. In closing, friends, I think it's important to remind everyone that our story from Matthew 25 details very clearly that God entrusts each of us with things that we are capable of managing. And when we do those things, as we continue in our faith journey and grow, we also see from our scripture reading that new things are entrusted to us to manage for the kingdom, evident by the fact that the servant with 10 talents received the one talent from the servant who did not prosper with that one talent. I know that our time is precious and it's a gift from God. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say that God has an expectation of us to use our time in ways that perpetuate the goodness of the kingdom of God. I mean, like it or not, being productive has something to do with investing properly what God has given to us. So to all of us who are struggling this morning with procrastination, let me just ask, what burden has God placed upon your heart that you keep putting off? Whatever it is, whether it seems significant or not, don't say today, I'll get started on that tomorrow. Get up from this place and leave. And as you do so, do whatever it is that God's burdening your heart to do today, within the next 10 minutes, not the next 24 hours. Because if you wait, you may just miss the opportunity for the blessing that God has for you through your obedience and the blessing of the person that your action will minister to.